Greetings, this is Jeff Riddle from Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. This is a continuation of our ongoing reading of Clement of Alexandria's little treatise, Who is the Rich Man That Shall Be Saved? And this was his exposition of the account of Christ's encounter with the rich young ruler, as recorded in Mark 10, verses 17 through 31. There's some 52 chapters total in this treatise. In this episode 4 of 8, we're going to be reading chapters 16 through 20. And so let's get started. Chapter 16. The presence of wealth in these is deadly to all, the loss of it salutary, of which, making the soul pure, that is, poor and bare, we must hear the Savior speaking thus, Come, follow me. For to the pure in heart, he now becomes the way. But into the impure soul, the grace of God finds no entrance. And that soul is unclean, which is rich in lusts, and is in the throes of many worldly affections. For he who holds possessions and gold and silver and houses as the gifts of God, and ministers from them to the God who gives them for the salvation of men, and knows that he possesses them more for the sake of the brethren than his own, and is superior to the possession of them, not the slave of the thing he possesses, and does not carry them about in his soul, nor bind and circumscribe his life within them, but is ever laboring at some good and divine work, even should be necessarily some time or other deprived of them, is able with cheerful mind to bear their removal equally with their abundance. This is he who is blessed by the Lord and called poor in spirit, a meet heir of the kingdom of heaven, not one who could not live rich. Chapter 17. But he who carries his riches in his soul, and instead of God's spirit, bears in his heart gold or land, and is always acquiring possessions without end, and is perpetually on the outlook for more, bending downwards and fettered in the toils of the world, being earth and destined to depart to earth, whence can he be able to desire and to mind the kingdom of heaven, a man who carries not a heart but land or metal, who must perforce be found in the midst of the objects he has chosen. For where the mind of man is, there is also his treasure. The Lord acknowledges a twofold treasure, the good, for the good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good, and the evil, for the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. As then treasure is not one with him, as also it is with us, that which gives the unexpected great gain in the finding, but also a second which is profitless and undesirable, an evil acquisition, hurtful, so also there is a richness in good things and a richness in bad things, since we know that riches and treasures are not by nature separated from each other. And the one sort of riches is to be possessed and acquired, and the other not to be possessed, but to be cast away. In the same way, spiritual poverty is blessed. Wherefore also Matthew said, Blessed are the poor. How? In spirit. And again, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God. Wherefore wretched are the contrary kind of poor, who have no part in God, and still less in human property, and have not tasted of the righteousness of God. Chapter 18. So that the expression, rich men that shall with difficulty enter into the kingdom, is to be apprehended in a scholarly way, not awkwardly or rustically or carnally. For if the expression is used thus, salvation does not depend on external things, whether they be many or few, small or great, or illustrious or obscure, or esteemed or disesteemed, but on the virtue of the soul, on faith and hope and love and brotherliness and knowledge and meekness and humility and truth, the reward of which is salvation. For it is not on account of comeliness of body that anyone shall live, or, on the other hand, perish. But he who uses the body given to him chastely and according to God shall live, and he that destroys the temple of God shall be destroyed. An ugly man can be profligate, and a good-looking man temperate. Neither strength and great size of body makes alive, nor does any of the members destroy. But the soul which uses them provides the cause for each. Bear then, it is said, when struck on the face, which a man strong and in good health can obey. But again, a man who is feeble may transgress from refractoriness of temper. So also a poor and destitute man may be found intoxicated with lusts, and a man rich in worldly goods, temperate, poor in indulgences, trustworthy, intelligent, pure, chastened. If then it is the soul which first and especially is that which is to live, and if virtue springing up around it saves and vice kills, then it is clearly manifest that by being poor in those things, by riches of which one destroys it, it is saved, and by being rich in those things, riches of which ruin it, it is killed. And let us no longer seek the cause of the issue elsewhere than in the state and disposition of the soul, in respect of obedience to God and purity, and in respect of transgressions of the commandments and accumulation of wickedness. Chapter 19. He then is truly and rightly rich who is rich in virtue, and is capable of making a holy and faithful use of any fortune, while he is spuriously rich who is rich according to the flesh, and turns life into outward possessions, which is transitory and perishing, and now belongs to one, now to another, and in the end to nobody at all. Again, in the same way, there is a genuine poor man and another counterfeit and falsely so-called. He that is poor in spirit, and that is the right thing, and he that is poor in a worldly sense, which is a different thing, to him who is poor in worldly goods but rich in vices, who is not poor in spirit and rich toward God, it is said, abandon the alien possessions that are in thy soul, that becoming pure in heart thou mayest see God, which is another way of saying, enter into the kingdom of heaven. And how may you abandon them? By selling them. What then? Are you to take money for effects by effecting an exchange of riches, by turning your visible substance into money? Not at all. But by introducing instead of what was formerly inherent in your soul, which you desire to save, other riches which deify and which minister everlasting life, dispositions in accordance with the command of God, for which there shall accrue to you endless reward and honor, and salvation, and everlasting immortality. It is thus that thou dost rightly sell the possessions. Many are superfluous, which shut the heavens against thee by exchanging them for those which are able to save. Let the former be possessed by the carnal poor, who are destitute of the latter. But thou, by receiving instead spiritual wealth, shalt have now treasure in the heavens. Chapter 20. The wealthy and legally correct man, not understanding these things figuratively, nor how the same man can be both poor and rich, and have wealth and not have it, and use the world and not use it, went away sad and downcast, leaving the state of life which he was able merely to desire but not to attain, making for himself the difficult impossible. For it was difficult for the soul not to be seduced and ruined by the luxuries and flowery enchantments of that beset rather remarkable wealth. But it was not impossible, even surrounded with it, for one to lay hold of salvation, provided he withdrew himself from material wealth to that which is grasped by the mind and taught by God, and learned to use things indifferent rightly and properly, and so as to strive after eternal life. And the disciples, even themselves, were at first alarmed and amazed. Why were they so on hearing this? Was it that they themselves possessed much wealth? Nay, they had long ago left their very nets and hooks and rowing boats, which were their sole possessions. Why then do they say in consternation, "Who can be saved?" They have heard well, and like disciples, what was spoken in parables and obscurely by the Lord, and perceive the depth of the words, for they were sanguine of salvation on the ground of their want of wealth. But when they became conscious of not having yet wholly renounced the passions, for they were neophytes and recently selected by the Savior, they were excessively astonished and despaired of themselves, no less than that rich man who clung so terribly to the wealth which he preferred to eternal life. It was therefore a fit subject for all fear on the disciples' part. If both he that possesses wealth and he that is teeming with passions were the rich, and these alike shall be expelled from the heavens. For salvation is the privilege of pure and passionless souls. Here ends chapter 20, and with that, we'll bring to an end episode 4 of 8 of Clement of Alexandria's treatise, Who is the Rich Man That Shall Be Saved? Hope this reading of the treatise to this point has been edifying, and I will look forward to speaking to you in the next episode in this series. Till then, take care and God bless.